I'll probably stand up in here in a minute. I'm gonna wear out today. Y'all got any prayer requests? Prayer requests tonight. Baby's doing good. It's good. And Terry's daughter, Mandy, had shoulder surgery this week. She did good. Yeah. Remember Nathan's daddy? Okay. Okay. Tina's step. You say stepson? Okay. Remember Miss Janet's husband? He got a pacemaker, right? Doing better, huh? Good. Good. Okay. How's Clay Cook doing? Good. It's all good in the back. All right. What missionary we want to pray for tonight? Let's pray for Uzbekistan, Brother Don Vestal. Open us up in prayer. We're going to do some stuff a little bit different tonight. Whoever wants to open us up. Man, I want to start off talking to you. You know, we talked about praying about getting involved for a year with a mission or a missionary and really pouring into that mission for a year. And I had my eyes on different stuff overseas. And that's still a possibility, but I wanted to see what your thought is. We don't have to decide tonight about doing that with the food bank. You know, Brother Kurt came about a month ago and talked to us on a Sunday morning about the food bank ministry. So I went down there and met with him and walked through there to see how all that process goes. And I'm going to tell you something about him. He has a well-oiled machine going, and he's got it set up right. It's gospel-centered. One of the things he said was he'd like to get pastors who would to come and sit down there for a day once a month just to send people in who wanted to talk to a pastor or whatever. And I told him, you know, I'd be glad to do that. But he walked me through there, and one of the things are there are some of our church people that are already involved in helping in that. You help with it, don't you, Miss Tina? Yeah, and there were a lot of, this is not towards Tina, but there were a lot of older people that volunteered. Yeah, a lot of older people that volunteer, and he was telling me, I just asked him a lot of questions, and he said every once in a while that they have trucks come in, they have a rolling, what do you call that? Yeah, pallet jack that they pull them off, and he's like, man, we got 70-year-old men trying to do that. And one of the things I said, well, some of our guys work nights and some of our guys work days, so maybe if you ever needed help, if you let us know, we could get some guys down there. I said, I'd be glad to come help and do that. But what I liked about it was it would be number one, and you might help me out, Chad. I know that as far as support, they could use a lot of support right now. He said they got about 2 months of finances to carry him for about 2 months. And talking to him, if you ever get a chance to drop by and just talk to him, that dude's got a heart for the Lord and a heart for that ministry. And I like it that they're living by faith. You know, they're stepping out and doing some things by faith and looking to the Lord and praying their way through that. They're looking, rather than for a church just to throw money at them, they want to, you know, churches that will partner in with them and people be involved with that. So it would be an opportunity if people are looking for a place to serve and be involved. You could and say, well, I'm not one to talk to people. Well, you know, the way he's got it set up, you could go down and a lot of times they got to divvy up the packages and put things into certain numbers, into certain bags, and put, they got like an area where the people come in, they'll shop. And so you got to restock shelves. And well, yeah, it was involved in that, but not there. Their building's right by, you know, the old country club, off of Link.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's Grace Church
now. The building is out beside that. And what happens is people come in. Is it Tuesday through Friday? People come in and they got a process that people go through. It's not a welfare system. I'm not into welfare, if you want to know the truth. But I can tell you this, I was there for about 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours, I don't remember. But most of the people that I saw come in was elderly people. And I was like, this is good. You know, this is really good. And then I went with the ones on the Friday. If y'all get a chance, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been involved in a food pantry at another church at Denison Springs where I was at. And after a little while, you know, we were the ones that were taking care of it at church. After a little while, I didn't like it, I'm going to be honest with you, because it got to a point to where when we were giving out food, there was people driving up way better health than me and way younger and just, you know, just an attitude. Where's my food? You know, and I was like, you know, I ain't into carrying your food out to your car, you know, when you can do your own thing. But yeah, they screen it. This is very different. That's what I'm saying. You know, I ain't saying I'm right, but sometimes people don't go, what you need is a job, not food. But even on the Friday deal, and here's what I meant. There's always going to be somebody who abuses the system. Let's be honest. There are people who abuse Jesus' system. He said, you didn't come to me, you know, because you heard the word. You come to me because you like the food. But so anyhow, I can get past that, because here's the thing. The Holy Spirit can deal with those people the same. And they need Jesus too. So that Friday, just to give y'all some idea, if you want to go, this it's the first Friday every month. And if you have a job, especially if you don't got to be at job till 9, you can do this, and I think you'd enjoy it. So me and my wife went and down at the farmer's market. When you get there early in the morning, about 5:45, 6 o'clock, there's a lot of bags. It was like bags of potatoes, bags of onions. And you gotta divide that up into smaller bags. So I was working with a guy divvying up potatoes, 10 potatoes in each sack. And we was having to get all this ready because there's cars, probably, what was there, 200? 317 families, you know, sitting in cars that's fixing to drive through the area. Two or three families in that van. And so, anyhow, it's like an assembly line, and you get to talk with the people that you're working with, and usually there's not a whole lot of people. They were all mostly older people, too. So what I'm saying is they could use a lot of help, if you know the truth. And anyhow, Kurt stands at the end of the line. The cars start in. They allow so many cars at a time, and he'll talk to them for a second, and he'll, you know, I was on the first one. He's like, two families, and you just take two bags. And I talked to, you know, the ones that was coming through and carry on with them and joke and stuff like that. And then they'd say, you know, we can put it in the trunk or whatever. And then they might be sitting there for a minute waiting in line. You can just talk to them, you know. And I'm not saying, all right, I need to go through the Romans Road. I was like, hey, it's a good day to go fishing, ain't it? And because here's the thing, a lot of them people are older. They're grandparents who are raising kids, their grandkids. Some of them are by themselves. They might not have nobody at all to talk to. And I'm just like, I just want to be kind, you know, to them and whatever. But I did. I did get the opportunity. There was two older black ladies, and they came through there. And I said, where do you want me to put your potatoes? And it's like, you can put it in the back. And there's an SUV. And I went back in. It was locked. And I tried to open it up. And I said, it's locked. And she was fooling with this. I pressured a little bit. I said, you got to hurry up. And she's like, I can't get it. I said, I'm getting too old to stand here and hold this much weight. Well, anyhow, she got it open. I carried on picking them. I said, you know, it's a good Bible lesson. I said, God has a lot of good things for people. Most people just keep him locked out. And they just kind of looked at me and went, that's right. I'm like, that's your thought for the day. Just simple things. I mean, honestly, next time I want to get a shirt, I don't know what I'm going to put on it, but, you know, Jesus' life is good, or, you know, just something to make people think. Anyhow, there's a lot of good opportunities. I actually talked to him, and I said, you know, our church full of rednecks that like hunting and fishing. Can you take wild meat if we have it, you know, if we process it and put it in bags? He said, well, it has to be in a USDA processing plant or I lose my license. I said, I got that. He said, but if y'all wanted to set up out here, I don't know about the farmer's market. I have to ask my, but if y'all, he said, we just can't do it in with us. He said, but if you set up out in the parking lot, if you wanted to give out, and I was thinking about, you know, if we went to Richland Chambers, you know, a lot of times we catch a whole lot more catfish than we're going to eat in a year just to freeze it, you know, bag it, freeze it. And when those people come up there, go, you know, here's some fish. Because one of them older men came through and I said, man, wouldn't it be a good day to go fish? He said, man, I ain't ate fish in a long time. I thought, man, I'd love to have, you know, a bag of fish. Go here, you know, this would be good for you. If it doesn't do anything else, it'll humble you and bring you to the place to go, I've got a lot better off than a lot of people. And sometimes we take our lives for granted. And here's the thing. A lot of people, this is what the Lord showed me. A lot of people wasn't given the opportunity that I was given. A lot of people's daddy didn't teach them a trade and teach them to work. They might not even had a daddy at the house. Or maybe they had a normal job and they did the best they could and they're trying to survive on Social Security. that's a nightmare. And I just go, I would love for our church, if we wanted to pray about taking that on, and if we wanted to, you know, split one and go, let's do one overseas, you know, and let's do that. But to do that, yes, ma'am? That was the Salvation Army? Yeah, yeah. And I would be like, this is my thought process. I would love to do something like God-sized, not church-sized. I'm not talking about, oh, let's give them this much each month. And I'm like, why don't we, if we wanted to do this, why wouldn't we pray and go, all right, let's try to do some benefits, not asking for money. We don't ask the world for money to support the Lord's work. But if we offer a product, then that's work. You're trading a product. People are getting something for the money. It's not asking for a handout from the world because that's not even biblical. And so if we did some benefits to go, I'd love to raise $25,000 to give to them this year. That's a lot. Yeah, God's huge. And I just love to go, well, let's pray about it. Let's at least ask, you know, $50,000, whatever. And Michael, what's Michael's last name? Vance, you know, he had volunteered to be a part of the benefit team, and I think Janaea said she might want to be on the benefit team, and if you would want to be on the benefit team, you just have to let me know. But he was talking about doing like something like a crawfish shrimp boil, you know, plates, and open it up to the public, not just within the church, but open it up to the public. And he said, you know, they raised, I think, $12,000 one time he did that. And I'm thinking, that'd be great. And here's the thing. It generates excitement in our church. People get an opportunity to serve because not everybody wants to teach. Amen? And not everybody wants to, but everybody can be a part in different areas of that. You know, even if you're, you know, older and you go, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I think if you went down there and saw what they did and see it, it's a really good opportunity to just go, even if you can only go one day a week. You know, on that. So anyhow, what in comments or thoughts or questions on that? Do we want to consider it, pray about it? Another thing, what Tracy reminded me, they're not open on Saturdays. He said, but if we had, you know, a handful of churches that would want to put a team together to do a Saturday morning to like from like 8 to lunch, he said we would have a whole lot more people on Saturdays who would come in because they're working during the week, so they can't come any other day. And so me and Tracy talked about that, and he talked about heading up a team that might want to do one Saturday a month, you know, to go and do that. And it would be simple, and it would be effective. And so there's just a lot of opportunities to get involved in the Lord's work in a simple way. And I can show you 100 verses where, I mean, if you want to read it for yourself, I read this morning, Isaiah 58 talks about feeding the hungry. You know, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you give me drink. That's what ministry should look like. Should be involved with helping people, you know, living the gospel out instead of just coming and preaching and listening and doing another Bible study. I think we got enough Bible studies, we ought to have scholars going now. But it's like, and I know that there's nothing wrong with Bible study. I mean, like, but if you go to 10 Bible studies and you don't help one person, what good did you do? If you want to know the truth, I'd really go one Bible study help 10 people. I seen one come through a new car, and I was like, I love you. Love your car. Yeah. Yeah. Any questions?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Be good. So, y'all, let's give it a week. We'll pray about that, if y'all want to pray about that. And then next Wednesday, we'll make a decision on that, and then we'll look at a overseas and be involved in. We can be involved in both. God's big enough to take care of two. All right. That's all right. Yeah. And put our church involved in the community. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Cedar Creek. That'd be a good idea, Cedar Creek Baptist Church. Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story, and then we'll go into our Bible study about Pope, Jim Pope. Jim Pope, he's the older man he's talking about down there. So he drives a motorcycle. He used to ride Harley. I don't know if he still does, but he don't. See, he lived down in Denison Springs when I was a pastor down there. He actually lived on a road, came to our church and stuff. He was a little bit younger back then, and a little bit bigger. And anyhow, I changed the oil on my Jeep Cherokee one time. And if you ever change your oil filter, I know you ladies, you know, understand this. It's got a seal on the top of that oil filter. Well, you got to make sure when you change your oil that seal don't stay up there. And I didn't check it, so I pulled the oil filter off. The old seal stayed on, and I put the new one on. Well, when you do that, it'll leak. So I lived down there, and I got in my Jeep and was leaving right after changing oil, and I drive down the road, and all of a sudden I see a light come on, and I pulled over, and I was probably we was way on down 294 right there where 323 comes in, if you know the area, Auto Ranch Road, and so I pulled over and I looked, and oil was pouring. I saw, oh my gosh, and so I crawled under there and I figured out what I did. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was in kind of dress clothes. I don't know where I was going. And all of a sudden, I hear a Harley pull up. And it was Mr. Pope. And he's like, what you got going? I said, man, that's a stupid mistake. I need to go back to my house and get some oil. Well, guess what? Here I am on the back of a Harley. He's got a big old white beard. And I just hugged up to him. We're going to 294. I'm like, I'm going to hear about this. I'll never forget that. That was a very interesting ride. So I did appreciate it. And on the way back, I was holding a jug of oil. Going, never know what's going to happen in Denison Springs. All right. Last Wednesday night, we started studying, if you wasn't here, communion, taking communion. And there's a lot of different things you can study when you take when you start studying on that. You know, and I want to show y'all some things tonight. Just share with you. I really like for y'all to talk more than you did last week. So if you wasn't here, we here at this church practice what you call closed communion. We're not the only church that does that. There are three different basic ways that churches practice communion. One is closed. That means the membership of the church takes communion together. One is close. That, I don't know where they would come up with that, but that's where if somebody comes in, like if I came into a church and they knew me, they're like, yeah, you can take communion with us. Or the third one is open communion. That means they're like, basically, if we do open communion, I would stand up and go, if you're here and you're a born-again believer, then you're welcome to take communion with us. I do want to clarify this. I'm not talking about if we take communion as a church, you know, that we're going to be like, all right, we'll let you and not you and you and not you. We don't do that. We just announce as a church body that this is the way we practice communion. And so never want to be offensive by any means. And I'll be honest with you, I'd like for you to convince me of open communion. Because open communion would be a whole lot easier. Unless, you know, because here's the thing, a lot of people don't understand why we practice closed communion. You know, and I was told today, somebody's like laughing about it. I'm like, well, you can laugh if you want to, but I guarantee you, you don't want to get out of the Bible and debate me on it. I promise you that. You know, I'm not being arrogant, but I'm like, I know why I believe what I believe. I don't just go by feelings. And so tonight, and when I say that, I'm not being argumentative. I'm just going, I don't do something because I'm Baptist. You understand what I'm saying? And people sometimes go, hey, old Baptist. I'm like, being Baptist has nothing to do why I do what I do. And so if you can convince me of communion, I'm like, hey, if you can convince me of the scripture, not any other way, because I'm going to always try to stand by scripture. That's what we should do. Y'all agree with that? We should go by the Bible. We got to this point last week, and I want to read something. I'm going to back up, but I want to read something. So what difference does it make? I mean, really, is it that big a deal? You know, open communion, closed communion, take it, you know, whoever we take. Okay, so looking at it from my point of view, I'm your pastor. I'm going to give an account to the Lord. I'm going to look at Jesus in the face, and he's going to go, why'd you lead the church that way? I'm not going to go, well, it just felt like it or not. That's not my plan. My plan is to go, oh, Lord, this is what I got from your word. That's what I want to be able to answer for. I take that very seriously. Right. Number two, I never want to mislead our church in any way. You know, I don't want to be one of them who leads you in a direction, because a lot of you are going to believe it just because I said it. You shouldn't, but that's just what people do. Yeah, that's where the accountability comes. So I don't want you to take it as, oh, he's just being hard-headed, and he's like, no, I told you last week, I actually called three pastors and said, I want you to, because they practice over communion, like, I want you to convince me that that's what the Bible says. They didn't convince me, really. I told you, I talked to them, and they were like, oh, man, I'm going to go back and look at that again, because that I hadn't looked at it like that. And so, please don't ever look at it as, well, Brother Randall, just hard-headed. I'm not being hard-headed, but I am going to hold to the scripture as I understand it until the Lord changes my mind. And my mind's changeable. I'm not one of them that's like, that's just it. I always go back and restudy and restudy and pray and restudy. I want to make sure we're walking in the truth. And then outside of that, whoever thinks whatever, don't bother me. You know, I really don't care what people think. You know, if we hold to the scripture, that's my concern. So real quick, look in your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, if the Lord's Supper is just, well, it's just, you know, us get together and we're reminded of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I'm like, yeah, that's a part of it, but there's a whole lot more to it than that we got to consider. And I'll show you why I say that. Is everybody there, 1 Corinthians 11? Look in verse 29. We'll just pull this out real quick. He said, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. Notice it doesn't say unworthily. It says in an unworthy manner. How you go about it. Eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So what is this judgment? For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The word sleep there is many are dead. So I'm thinking, there's more to this. I'm going to be honest with you. I might not understand everything about it, if I'm just honest. But there's more to this than it was just a fellowship, and we're be reminded of Christ's love for us. That is a part of the message of it, but the manner in which we take it must be very serious, because the word judgment there is very serious. And then verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Then in verse 34, "But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment." So there are several mentions of judgment there. So if I just go, what's a big deal? You know what? I could possibly be leading you into experiencing judgment. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Or am I just, y'all throw it off? Y'all tell me. I mean, that if I see that there, if anybody sees something different, by all means, and what I say, I'm not debating or arguing. I just look and go, there's more. I believe there's more to this than what the eye sees, than just going, hey, this is just a fellowship. There's. No, could be.
So what's the difference in that? And just anybody that says I'm a believer?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you, Craig. Here's how I would answer that, and we can discuss this. This is a discussion, okay? Here would be my thought on that. When you look at verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So we can't judge the heart of a person. I can't judge your heart. You can't judge mine. I don't even want to. I don't want to judge your heart. Okay. And so we know that that every man has to look in himself, number one, to know that you know the Lord, because the Lord's Supper is for believers. So let me back up one and see what it says. In verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim." That word in the original is "you preach the Lord's death till he comes." So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming or we're preaching the gospel. So obviously a lost person, here would be the thing. If that person knows they're lost, I think there's some people who are obviously ignorant, may think they're saved and come to the knowledge later. God holds us accountable for what we know. And if you know that you don't know the Lord, you walk in the church and you're like, "I don't want to stand out, and so I'm going to take it, even though I don't believe this junk." That, for me, would be number one, taking an unworthy manner. Let me get that. Hold up. That's a good question. And that's where we're going. Why? Okay. Or an unworthy manner would be if I know that I'm involved in sin, unrepentant, because believers can be involved in unrepentant sin. Y'all agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
All of us. Here's the thing: we all sin, but we should have a repentant heart. When you sin, like you know you've sinned, you turn from that sin, forsake it, put it out. You know. Now, if you're walking, living, I guess they use those words. If you're continually active in a sin that you know you shouldn't be, and you're like, whatever, because you're in a rebellious spirit, and then you come into a church and you're going to take communion, and you take of that, that would be bringing judgment on yourself. You know, hopefully God's merciful, and he greatly is. I don't think God's just waiting to go, bzz, bzz. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just like, for you to do that would be taking an unworthy manner. Now, here's where, when Chad says, would we be in judgment to take it with those people? Absolutely, because communion means we have a common union. We're in unity. That's the whole point. And here's the thing, what we talked about last week, communion, as far as I understand, is given to the local church. I realize the Bible teaches of a spiritual body. I went through my Bible this week and was looking at that and writing down. But it also speaks of a local body more than it does a spiritual body. You know, it says in Corinthians, we were all baptized into one body by the Spirit. So there's a spiritual. But you also have water baptism, which is a picture, an ordinance, same as this, of what happens in the spiritual realm that we don't see. And you're baptized into the local body. And so in that, and we finish up, we'll go back there in just a second, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says we are to judge one another. I know that don't settle with people because they're not supposed to judge. Like, yes, yes, we are to judge one another. Not when the Bible speaks of judgment, it's not talking about you, Mr. Billy, you're wrong. You can't take it. That's not what the Bible's speaking of. The Bible's talking about that we hold one another accountable according to the Scripture. I mean, let's be honest. If you say, well, you can't judge. So if y'all see me out hugged up to a woman at Walmart, y'all going to tell me y'all just going to go, well, we can't say nothing. Y'all would be on the horn after you videoed it judging me. You might not come to me, but you'd be judging me, all right? But you should. You know what you should do? You go through the process of Matthew 18, even with your pastor.
Yep, that's right.
Matthew 18, you would come to me and go, that is not right, and your wife is going to shoot you. Okay? And if I went, I don't care if she shoots me or not, and I don't care if you like it or not. You would, out of love, go and get two people. You would come back to me and go, one reason why, because this you're in sin. What you're trying to do is save me from judgment. So you would approach me and be like, we reason with you, brother, you know this ain't right. We want to save you from judgment. You need to repent of this. You need to forsake this. Repentance doesn't mean sorry. Repentance means you put it out of your life. And in that, if I went, you do whatever, then you would bring me before the church, and the church's point would be to save me from judgment. It's never to go, we condemn you, we judge you. But the Bible is clear, Matthew 18, but if I stand before the church and go, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, then you would do what's called church discipline. And the Bible says when you come together, you would come together as one under the authority of Christ and go, we're putting you out of the church. You're no longer a member of this church. You're no longer a fellowship of the church. What are you doing? We read this last week. It's kind of why I'm going through it quick. You're turning me over to Satan so that he's going to deal with me so that I come to a place of repentance. And I come back to the church, go, I want to be right. And I repent of that. Then the church would restore me in love and bring me back into fellowship with the church. Why? For the purity of the church, for obedience to the Scripture. Does God chasten us? Does God discipline us? Absolutely. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, whom the Lord loves, he corrects or he chastens. If you don't receive the correction of God, what are you? You're an illegitimate child. That's what Hebrews says. Read for yourself. Hebrews 12 says, if you do not, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. All fathers chasten their son because they love him. If you do not receive the chastening or the correction of God, then you're an illegitimate child. It means you're not truly born again believer. If you can go out and just sin, sorry, that's not repentance, okay? So repentance is not crying. Repentance is, it is sometimes sorrowful for sin, but it is an action that takes place in your life, turning away from that sin, putting it out of your life, okay? And God's Spirit wrestles with us, and he wants to remove that. He's trying to save you from judgment. But here's the thing. If you continually, habitually sin, and you never see God's correction in your life, you know what that says? Biblically, you're not his. You're not his. And so here's the thing. If we're the body, here would be my question. If God disciplines and judges and we're the body of Christ, should we not do the same thing that the Bible teaches us to do? I know these things aren't comfortable and they're not American, but they're biblical. And y'all know me. I ain't up here going, all right, I'm ready to judge. I'm not that at all. You know, I'm trying to be, you know, I like to really avoid that. Yeah. Because here's the thing, you know yourself. Judging yourself would be this. Let's say you're involved in sin, okay? Let's say you're angry at a brother, and you're like, I ain't dealt with this. I'm angry at him. I'm going to choose to be angry at him right now. And we do communion. The best thing to do is go, I'm not going to take it today. You're judging yourself. Or you're looking, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people go, you can't judge me. I'm like, I don't want to. Judge yourself. Because if you judge yourself, go, I'm wrong. I'm wrong with this. Every time you come to the place of repentance, that follows judging yourself. Because what you're doing is you're agreeing with God. You know, if I'm standing up here preaching, I'm like, I don't care what sin is, pick it if I was to go. If I was reading the Bible and went, you know, stealing's wrong. The Bible says, steal no more. Work that you might have to give to those who are in need. That's what it says in Ephesians, okay? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you're stealing. Remember today, you were in Walmart and stuck a candy bar in your pocket. You stole it. right there, you have a choice to judge yourself righteously and go, I'm going to agree with God. God, and this is what confession is. It's agreeing. It's agreeing, coming into agreement with God to go, God, you're right. I stole that. I'm guilty. I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me. Go back to Walmart. Take your candy bar back. That's repentance. Take your candy bar back and go, I want you to know I stole this from you today, and I'm going to return it. And what? I'm at your mercy. That's repentance. So, sometimes, here's the thing. I'm sorry, Dave. Sometimes you can't. There's certain things we can't undo. You understand what I'm saying? But repentance.
You're still trying to make it right.
Yeah. If you can make it right, the Bible teaches us make restitution. Make it right. And so that would be judging yourself. You would judge yourself. You don't need anybody else. The Holy Spirit brings it to your heart and mind. He's not doing it so you feel bad. He's doing it so you put it out of your life. And am I making sense? Okay. Anybody's welcome. Okay.
Judge ourselves,
yeah,
to make sure that we're right with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because it says later on, right there in 31, that if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That second judgment is by the Lord.
Yeah.
So the Lord gives us numerous opportunities to look at our hearts.
Yeah.
And try to make things right.
Yes.
And if we fail to do so, then He will do it.
Yes. You remember in Isaiah 1:18 where the Lord's talking to all the things. You remember Israel, they were going through the motions of religion. He said, you come and you pray your prayers and you hold your hands up in the air. He said, I'm not even going to hear you. I'm not going to listen to you. Because He said in verse 18, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. God always wants to, He always wants to forgive. The Bible says He's plentiful in mercy, ready to forgive. That's why God brings it to our mind, so that He wants us to put it out of our lives so that we don't receive the judgment. Here's the thing. God's already judged sin. Sin's been judged. It's not like God's going, all right, you did bad. It's that you are a partaker of it, and whatever you partake of, you receive what it's already been judged. So if I go out and steal, I can expect I'm going to jail. There's a judgment on it already. A judge, when you go before him in court, he doesn't stand up. The judgment's already been made. All he is to do is to quote the law to you.
Right.
He doesn't go, you know what I'm going to do to you? You know, to you, I'm going to put you in. Now, this might happen in America. Put you in jail 50 years. I'm going to let you go. That's perverse judgment. Judgment is, you broke the law. This is what the law has been determined by our country. The penalty for that is this. And if he's a righteous judge, he just quotes that to you because it's already been determined. He don't need to determine. They've already determined it if they do it right. Right. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We finished up here last week. You know, and I know people go, how can this be such a big deal? I don't know. If you want to know the truth, I like simple things. I'd rather go, I don't care who takes it. That's between you and the Lord. That would be a lot easier. But then my question would be for me and for anybody else. So if you were a preacher, for a pastor, how would you deal with this text? Can't just skip over it. You know, I don't understand. Like, hold on a second. If you're going to preach through the scripture, how would you preach this text? If you're going to go, whoever wants to take it. You know, like last week, we talked about this dude living in fornication. They were a part of the church. They were the church members of this church. Now they're living in fornication. Openly, unblatant, unrepentant sin, Paul said, put them out of the church. Put them out of fellowship. Do discipline. Okay? And it says in verse 7, therefore, purge out the old leaven, the sinfulness, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for you. Therefore, let us keep the feast. It definitely... Any scholar would tell you he's talking about the Lord's Supper. Any biblical scholar, look it for yourself. Not with old leaven, nor of leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in this letter not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean the sexually immoral people of this world. So he's talking about people within the church. or of covetous, or of extortioners, idolaters, since you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, reveler, drunkard, extortioner, not even to eat. He's talking about the feast in the context. Not even to take the Lord's Supper with such a person. So there, this is me in logic. I go, there has to be something where you go, we shouldn't partake of it with this or that. Now watch this. For what have I to judge those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? How would you preach that? I mean, honestly, if you just look at the word, go, so should we judge one another? It says it. I mean, unless you're going to just candy dance around it, that you got to deal with. That's the thing about, that's why you want to, when you just read or study or preach or teach through the Bible, teach every bit of it from, that's called expository preaching. That's what Jesus did. He expounded on the scripture. He didn't just pick here and pick here. That's where people mess up when you go, I'm going to pick here, I'm going to pick here, I'm going to pick here, like teach through the word. Pick a book and teach or preach or study through the word in the context. And I just go, and again, please do not get in your head that I think we need to start going around looking for sin. I'm not talking about that. This is the example. These people, open, blatant sin. The whole church was talking about it. It was causing all kind of division in the church. I don't care nothing about policing people. I don't care nothing. I want to be gracious. Why? Because I need grace. I want to be merciful because I need mercy. Remember what Jesus said, how you judge someone is how you will be judged. Judge not lest you be judged, Matthew 7. We know that part of the verse. For how you judge one man, you'll be held to that judgment or that standard. So you know what I want? A lot of mercy. You know what I'm going to show you? A lot of mercy. Why? Because I need mercy from you and I want mercy from God. We should be very gracious people. I'm going to be honest with you, one thing I can't stand for somebody to come to me and go, you know this and this and this about this person in your church? You need to do this about them. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what Jesus did to start with. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be gracious to them, be merciful to them. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to reason with them. You know, if I got a brother in his church, sister in his church, you know, my wife takes care of the sisters. But if I got a brother in church and he's and somebody brings it to light, you know what they're doing? They're doing this and that. I'm going to be like, well, then obviously they got something going on. I need to go to them and talk to them to help them. Don't you want to restore people, not just bash people? I don't care nothing about bashing people. Because here's the thing. When you go come to somebody and go, you know what? This is what I heard. I'm going to say, well, let me tell you what I heard about me. Because I can tell you all kinds of things about me. If you don't even got to police me. I'll tell you what I do, and then you make your own judgment. You know, I've had people say, you know, I heard this person did this. This person lost their temper. And it's like, I'm like, oh, I lost my temper too. Said a lot of bad stuff. What you want to do, kick me out too? You understand? Okay, so if you're going to hold me to that accountability, now it's my turn. Because I promise you, I'll shred you, just like you will me. And people don't wonder, well, what do you mean? I got it all together. Like, oh, well, self-righteousness. There we go. Bam. Self-righteousness, just as bad as stealing, just as bad as adultery. So I'm not talking about that. That's not what we want to do as a church. Yeah. Here's the thing. People are not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. And it would be like, if you'll picture sin right and go, hey, that kid's playing with a stick of dynamite in a match. But don't say that to him. You can't judge. And I'm not trying to take away his fun. He sees it as fun. I guarantee you there's some kids in his church that would see that as fun. But what I want to do is bring it to light to what it is. Go, look, buddy, let me have that because they're going to blow us up. And I'm going to be a part of that. And so as a church, we're knit together. We're members of a body. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So here's the thing. When one person comes into judgment, it's going to go through the church. That's why we want to, that's really why God said discipline the church. Because you're saving the church from certain judgment. Unless y'all got a different thought process. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be a point from Matthew 18. The process right. wouldn't be immediately go boom, you're out. It would be okay. Let's say the canon said, "Hey, Cooper, I'm gonna go kill somebody this evening." Actually, Tracy sent me a text this week and he said, "What did it say, Tracy? You want to go kill some? You want to go kill somebody?" He meant to say, "You want to go kill something? It would go hog hunt." He said, "You want to kill somebody?" I said, "Who?" Yeah. And so, but if he was serious, if he was serious, I'm gonna kill somebody. Honestly, first thing I go, number one, Tracy, and he's not a murderer. He loves God. Da da da. And we go through that. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So was Jesus wrong in taking the Last Supper with Judas?
He didn't take the Last Supper with Judas. He was taking the Passover meal. He put Judas out before he instituted the Lord's Supper.
That's what I was trying to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a transition where Judas was put out, then he instituted the Lord's Supper. So that makes sense? Okay. And again, it's not about hunting people to put out. It is about restoration. If you knew I was going to kill somebody, I hope you'd come to me out of love and go, "This ain't who you are. We need to. I want to help you so that you don't go kill somebody." Yeah, yeah.
To that point, the whole what I've studied out is the whole process of Matthew 18 is restoration, and everybody looks at it wrong. As a church.
Mm-hmm.
He's my family. And if I see him doing something that's sinful, immoral, wrong, and he knows it, I know it, it'd be really easy for me to go, I didn't see that, and turn away and walk off.
That'd be the wrong thing.
And that's the wrong thing to do. The right thing to do is go to that brother and restore him. And that's difficult because you got to get in his business. But it also says in Matthew 18, you go there to win him back.
Yeah, in love.
In love.
In love.
And if we did that in every situation, we saw somebody that we love doing wrong, and your whole point in that was, I got to help him. I love him, and I got to help him. You would go about it a whole different way.
Yep.
Most people in our culture want to use Matthew 18, pull it like a pistol. Boom.
Or just ignore the whole chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me give you an example. This is a true example. This is what most churches want. They don't want a dictator as a pastor. And sometimes I get labeled as a dictator. Why? I can't tell you something. Maybe it's because I try to lead. But anyhow, but this is what most people want. They're like, you know what? I want to come tell you about this, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Me and that person had an issue. You go fix it. All right, hold on a second. Doesn't say the pastor's responsibility is to be the daddy of the church to correct the kids. That's not my role. It's not my role for you to point out somebody's mischief and me go fix it. If you are involved in the mischief, you need to go talk to the person. That's what the Bible teaches. You know what? And I had somebody, you know what? You know, David's a deacon. You know, I got this issue. You know, my response would be, have you talked to David? Well, you're the pastor. I don't have an issue with David. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep,
pastor's not called police. As funny as they don't want a people don't want a dictator when it comes to leading and making decisions, but when it comes to dealing with mess, they want a dictator.
Yeah.
Not y'all, other people. Yeah, and I just go, here's the thing. That's why, honestly, most everybody know we've had some mess in the last little bit. If that would have been handled according to Matthew chapter 18, nothing would have happened.
That's right.
There might have been some people decide they wanted to leave. But most of that, none of this would ever happen if we would have been scriptural to go, this is the person, this is the problem. Have you talked to that person before you talked to anyone else? Before you talked to me? Before you brought it to Facebook? Before you said all these things? Have you went to that person because you love that person?
That's the key, right there.
Because you love that person and go, look. Because I had somebody go, oh, this person said that, y'all know, oh, this person said that, You know what my response was? I just said, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was you, I love that person enough that I would go to that person and go, this ain't who you are. Obviously, you might have been having a bad moment, a bad day. And I have told people that. You ain't never had a bad moment? You ain't never had a moment where you got prideful? You ain't never had a moment where you got angry and said some ugly things? If you haven't, then you need to step up here and I need to sit down. Actually, you need to repent because you're lying and add to it. All of us have bad moments. We all get angry. We all say things. We all get emotional. Men, not as much as women, but we get emotional. It takes us a little bit longer. It does. Women are built emotional. That's why God built y'all. See, you just got emotional. That proves my point. And I just judged you. Anyhow, so, I got to get you out of here. But I just go, and this is more my point. Here's what I can do. There's some things I can't correct, but I can learn from. And I can go, I can make sure I do everything I can do to make sure things don't happen again. And one of the ways is to do that is when you come and go, this is what I heard, this is what I said, then you're the one God wants to deal with that. Yep. You need to go talk to that person in love. You need to restore that person, or you need to. And here's the thing, because I've heard, you know, these people, and that person, I told somebody this week, I said, you know what's funny? You know, there's been some people say stuff about me, and there's been a lot of lying, too. And so I said about me, I hadn't been brought before the church yet. I hadn't had two witnesses come and talk to me yet. You know what that tells me? We're totally going against what the scripture said. We're just doing whatever we want to do. Because I promise you, if people came to me and said, hey, you said this or you did this, and I know that ain't who you are, and it hurt my feelings, or it made me mad, or I really got ticked off, but I want us to be right. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to be right. When we walk off, I'm going to love that person, forgive that person, no matter what, because you have the capacity to do that. Jesus is in you. I want peace. I want love. I want reconciliation, truthful reconciliation, not fake book, okay? Truthful reconciliation, I'll reconcile with anybody over anything. If people want to get real. Now, if you don't want to get real and you don't want to own your part, then that's not reconciliation. That's fake. I don't want nothing to do with fake. That's just where I'm at. And that's biblical.
And I think the biggest part of it is not being aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been brought up, you know, putting someone out or talking to about something. If we would humble ourselves first.
Yeah.
So mad at your kids that you put them out of your house and not let them come back. You're not.
I might. No.
Because you love that kid and you want to restore that kid and you correct that kid. When I had kids at home, if they got out of line, I didn't just beat them to beat them.
My kids also have to be in a place where they want to take that and own that too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm fixing to throw myself under the bus because Bull just walked in here. He'll be the witness of it, and we'll be done, okay? So I'll give y'all something to talk about on Facebook. So this week, me and Bull's talking, and we was talking about something. And I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of got a little swole while I was talking, and I said an ugly word. Now, it wasn't really like rated R, where it is an ugly word. Because I went boom and I threw it out there, and I know y'all going okay. So here's the thing. That's not something I practice. Number one, it's not something I'm saying is okay. Immediately, you know what I did? I said, "Bull, I am so sorry." I said, "This is why I don't want to talk about it, because I don't want to talk about it, because I'm gonna say something ugly." Now, here's the thing. Bull could come here tonight and go, "You know what? Pastor said an ugly word. He was mad and he said an ugly word." And I wasn't like mad. It hit me. So what was you mad about? None of your business. Me and Bull's talking, okay? But But you know what? Bull could come up here and go, he's pastor, he said ugly word, we need to boot him out. You could.
No, that's wrong. It's not wrong.
I mean, it's not right. But here's what I would say. I told him two or three times, I said, boy, I'm so sorry. So I shouldn't say that. Don't want to say that. I hate that when that happens. And I apologize. I wasn't apologizing as a pastor. I was apologizing as a brother in Christ.
Yep.
And you know, here's the thing, Bull. He's like, no, don't worry. He forgave me. He didn't hold against me. I don't think. He's not judging me. All those things. But if he didn't do that and he came and went, he said this and this. Here's my question. What am I supposed to do now? Things come out of our life all the time. If we're not a forgiving people, what is that person supposed to do? What do you do that? Well, they said this and they did that. Well, then let's get out of Acts and bash them. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that person owned that. I guess I'll tell you, this is so ugly. I had a man, it'd been a long time ago, that did some real ugly things towards one of my kids when they were still kids. Some way out of line. I had some words with that man. He don't go here no more. I had some words with that man. And I ain't going to tell you everything I said, but I told him, I'll jerk you up quick, boy. That's what I'll do. You're going to find out. I'll show you. Should I have said that? Nope. Well, most daddies say that. If you don't, you ain't got a spine. And you know what I did? I apologized to him. He didn't receive it. So I went through the process. And me and that brother and his wife and my wife got in a room. We was there for the purpose of reconciliation. Like, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that. But you shouldn't have said what you said to my kid. You had no right to say anything to my kid. And y'all can agree or disagree. I'm going to stand where I stand. So in that process, they kept getting louder and louder. I was like, can we calm down? Can we please calm us down? We're here to reconcile. We're here to reconcile. Ba 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 ba. It kind of went south again. I was like, okay. It's where I'm at. And I'm not one who wants no trouble with nobody. But anyhow, you know what? I'm telling you this story. I've cut all the juice out of it. But here's what I said. His wife looked at me and said, what if I tell the church you threatened my husband? I said, number one, I didn't threaten you. I just told you what I was going to do. So number two, I'll go out there and tell the church what I said. That's why I'm telling you. I don't have nothing to hide in my life. I am who I am. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. I'm going to strive to walk with Jesus. There's probably going to be times where I fall. I need mercy. If you're not that kind of person, I don't understand that. I don't understand if you don't need mercy. You're blind as a bat because every single one of us struggle. Now, we're not justifying that. And maybe that's not your struggle. Maybe people can be ugly to your wife and you don't care. Maybe people can be ugly to your kids and you don't care. Not me. Not me. That's where I'm going to be tested. But there's other areas where I'm a little different than you. Maybe people can talk ugly about you and you can't take it. I can take it pretty good. I'd rather you not test that. But I can take it pretty good. You know? And so here's where I'm at. You help me where I'm weak, I'll help you where you're weak. You show me mercy, I'll show you mercy. We both ask God for mercy. And we love each other, and we build one another up. So hopefully one day, I'll be honest with you, I'll never get to the point where if you're hateful towards my wife and kids, that I just go, oh, that's okay. That's not the kind of Jesus I serve. Now, I ain't saying I'm going to try to pound somebody, but you can push it to the point. You can push it to the point. Well, y'all quiet on that. I ain't got no men say amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you say something towards my wife, we fishing to go. That's just me. You can fire me right now if you want to. I'm just saying. Just saying, I want to be real. I want to be real. Let's not go, oh, brother holy. I'm like, but here's the thing. If you attack my wife and I'm at the point of attacking you, I ain't taking communion. I'm going to judge myself and I'm going to be like, I think I would be unworthy if I was like, if there was a brother in this church who was ugly towards my wife and I'm sitting here thinking, right after church, me and you, partner, we're going to go have us a talk. Now, it might not break out. We might come to the place of reconciliation and understanding. Understanding, don't you open your mouth to mine again. That would be and I am passionate about this, okay? And you as men should be passionate. The Bible said, act as men. Act as men. Man defends his wife. But here's where I'm at. I know this is probably going to get four more people going to leave the church. We're going to hear about it all week. But anyhow, and I'll stand where I stand. Just a whole different message. But here's the thing. I ain't going to stand up here and go, oh, holy, I'm going to take communion because I don't want nobody to know. And then afterwards, then we're going to have our talk. Like, no, let's be real. I'm above all. That's the why I tell you this stuff. I want you to know I ain't got nothing to hide. I'm a man who walks in the light. I'm an open book. And if you ask me what I think, I'm going to tell you. You don't have to wonder what I think when you ask me or wonder where I stand on some things. You might not agree with it, but at least you know. I'd rather know where I stand with somebody than wondering what's going on really in their mind. I can deal with truth. Yeah. Huh? I'll probably be on the phone half the night after that one right there. Yeah. Yeah, you can video whatever you want to. I'll tell the world. Test me on that. Get sideways that one right there and see how long it's going to last. I promise you that. I might take a whooping, but I'm going to take one. I can promise you that. We're going to find out. All right. All right, get out of here, Chris Kenner. Y'all stand. Let's get out of here before my flesh takes over and I say something stupid. All right. This is all I got to say in defense of that. Jesus died to save his bride from the enemy. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for my church family, God. Thank you that we're a people who try to seek and walk in truth. Lord, above all, we want to love, and we want to show mercy and kindness and grace towards people. We want people to see you. You're not weak. Lord, you're not weak. You didn't teach us to be weak. And, God, you told us to stand against the enemy and stand strong. And, Father, I just pray as a church that we would judge ourselves. And, God, that we would stand before you in truth and that we would put things out of our lives that are dishonoring to you. And, God, we'd be a church. We don't worry about the world thinks or says, but that we'd be a church who love you and want to honor you. Lord, you deserve that. You deserve us to strive to give our very best. And, Lord, I just pray that you would guide us in your word. Thank you for this study tonight. Lord, I pray people be merciful to me. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.